We're going to do Study 77 tonight, and the study on wisdom, along with what we can glean from the King James Version and what we can glean from Jack's Workman's Interlinear, which is, he brings it down from the Koine Greek, and we can kind of mold the two together as we've been doing somewhat and get this understanding that the Apostle Paul has laid out for us here, because we're still dealing with the example of Paul. And the first three verses were talking about the present and true circumcision. And then from chapter 3, verses 4 through 14 was Paul's example. And so we've made it down through verse 8. And so 4 through 8 gives us the understanding that the Apostle Paul has now come with the knowledge and the understanding of how to use it, and he has somewhat the mind of Christ, because you see, he's finishing the work that Christ was not able to do, because the Father didn't let the Son give this to these people when he was here on the earth. And so this was Paul's job, and so Paul was chosen to do that. And so verses 4 through 8 is the things that Paul got concerning his life here on the earth. And when he talks about trusting in the flesh, he said, I had more than anyone else to trust in, but when I put it all down in this letter, so to speak, he says, all these things that I gained by being a believer in Christ and being chosen in him, he said, those things that I could have counted as gain, I counted them as loss because of Christ and because of what Christ had to offer. So, you know, if you're in a deal and you're talking with two different people on offering maybe the same sort of situation, which this here was eternal life, it was what Christ had to offer was the deal. And I'm going to read the eighth verse, and then we'll start in 9, because this is where our study starts. This is study 77, and today's date for the tape is the 27th day of January 2021. And he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost, all these things that he listed down here, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, full stop. So, when he got to looking at one and looking at the other, he knew which one he was going to go for, because there was no doubt that the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ much more outweighed anything that this world could give him. So he said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And so this was the choosing that Paul did there, by laying aside or kind of piling it up as dung and saying, well, this stuff here to some people would be a great thing, but to me, it's of no use. I am looking for what I can win in Christ Jesus. Okay? And so we'll start in verse 9. It says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, this is the King James Version, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So, Paul is still looking, and he's still looking at both sides of the coin here, and he wanted to be found in Christ, he says, and because he realized his righteousness was not his own. And it's that way with us. Our righteousness is not our own. What Christ did for us, we couldn't do, folks. We couldn't do it. If we could, there would have not have been any need for Christ to suffer the things he suffered.
And die, yeah.
But you see, it's the faith of Christ. And God knew his son. And he knew that the son would do what he asked the son to do. Because he always had. And I think certainly he understood that he always would. Because all this was planned out before he ever created anything.
Amen.
We were planned out before he ever created anything. And realizing that one time, somewhere down the road, that the Son would take the misgivings of mankind and take them and die for that fact and give us a chance through his faith of having life again. Oh, that is such a great thought, such a wonderful thing that people get involved in things and they look back and they say, well, why did I do that? They just don't understand what is laid out before them. Sometimes they just can't see it for something else. We go to the Koine Greek in Jack's book, verse 9 of Philippians 3, and says, it's brought down into the English. It says, and be found in him, not having my righteousness, which out of law. See, his righteousness come by the way of the law. But rather which through faith of Christ, which out of God righteousness upon the faith. And if you look at it in the English of today, it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is out of law, but which is through faith of Christ, which out of God is righteousness upon faith. So you see the difference there that perspective gives us when we read the verse in a different light concerning it coming forth out of the Greek by the way of English. And Jack says this, Jack and Melda, the righteousness of Paul comes from the law. That is the righteousness he had before Christ met him on the road to Damascus. The righteousness imputed to him from Christ leaves nothing for him to boast about or to him to boast in or to take pride in. All this righteousness is of faith. They are no accompanying works which adds value to the righteousness of faith. And Jack says it's hard for most to understand that they are not saved by a mixture of God's righteousness and their own. It's not of their own. We were sinners. There was nothing good about us. It had to be the hand of God or through his son one way or the other that we received any goodness at all or any righteousness at all to be right in the sight of God. There is no mixture, Jack says. So don't try to mix it up, being part me and part God. It's all God.
Amen.
Man is just there at the time. Man is saved by his faith in his finished work and faithfulness. The work is the finished work on the cross. Man, it cannot be duplicated. It can't be added to or adumbrated, as Jack says, in any way. And we've got 5 or 6 places that we need to go to make this certain in our mind. So it's by faith. And I'm going to read what I had wrote in my notes, because I didn't do it before I got into Jack's work. But it says, "And be found in him, Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." It's Christ's faith, not anything more. The righteousness which is of God by faith is Christ's faith. And that's a full stop there. So let's look at these scriptures that he gives us. And I've got them marked off in mine. And let's go back to Isaiah 64. And that is on page 1010 or 1011. I'll tell you in just a minute. Isaiah 64:6. It's the first verse if you have a companion Bible on page 1011. And Isaiah says this, "But we are all as an unclean thing." You got that? "And all our righteousness are as filthy rags." You got that? "And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." I'll just read 7. "And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hath consumed us because of our iniquities." We stood out away from God because of our sinfulness. Mm-hmm. That should be pretty plain to understand. Okay? Now, let's move on. Let's go over to Acts 3. We're gonna move a good little ways, because we're going past John and Acts. And Acts 3:16. And here's the second part of this. "And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." That's Acts 3:16. He was talking about the Holy One. And the just. "And they desired a murderer, and they killed the Prince of Life. It said, whom God raised from the dead, and we're witnesses." Oh, what a work. Okay, let's go over to Romans. We're going to go to Romans 3. And then we're going to go to Romans 7. We're going to go to Romans 3:30 to start off with. Romans, well, let's look at 29 and 30. Or 28. It says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Jews? Yes, of the Jews also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Now, did you get that? Let me read it again. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision or the Jews or those of Abraham by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Maybe that's another study for us to take up sometime. But you see, there's two different ways there. One is for one is for the other. And that's like we always talk about, well, you know, if you go back and you look at Acts, and you look at how Acts is broken up into parts, because part of it was before, when Peter was getting everything going. And then here comes one that held the coats for the one to be stoned to death. And then he got knocked down on the Damascus Road and blinded, and he was given things that he was going to have to do. And so the things after that was different from the things that happened before. And even after we get into the end of the book of Acts, then things become different again from the things that were in the latter part of the book of Acts. So here we are. Okay. Some by faith, the uncircumcised, and the uncircumcised through faith, the Gentiles. Okay, let's go over a sheet or two to a page or two to Romans 7. And we're going to look at 7:10. We're going to look at 7:10. See, I've made a little bit of progress in looking. Paul says in Romans 7:9-10, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin taketh occasion by the commandments, deceived me, and by it slew me. So Paul realized that difference there. And let's go back to 5:1, and I don't know why Jack moved around from one to the other and then back, but as we read, we may find out. 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And what hope gives us. Amen. What hope gives us.
Mm-hmm.
Galatians. Let's go to Galatians 2. Okay, I gotta get by Corinthians first, get to Galatians. Okay. We're gonna look at Galatians 2, 16 and 17. Knowing that a man is not justified, that's on page 1752, by the way, you got a companion Bible. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Kind of plain and simple, isn't it? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? That's a question. God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Turn with me to Ephesians, second chapter. We're getting back close to Philippians again. Ephesians 2. And we're going to look at 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are ye saved through this faith that we've been talking about. And that not of yourselves. It's not our faith. Again, we'll say it's Christ's faith. And it is. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what Jack left with us to look at in this one verse of Scripture. Be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, or Christ's faith. Let's go to 10. We're going to look at Philippians 3:10. Let me turn the page. That's all on page 1777. Okay. He said that I may know him. That I may know him, because, you know, we just talked about having this faith. It wasn't his own, but it's faith of Christ. That I may know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Oh. I'm going to read 10. I'm going to read my notes on 10. But I want you to see something here. And Paul is still learning here. And what Paul is fixing to tell us in these next verses of Scripture here, that he is still learning, because he wasn't sure at this point that he had attained to what he wanted to attain to. If he was going to pile up all this stuff that was done, all this stuff that was earthly, if he was going to pile up all that and look at it as dung, then he had to do something. He had to have something else to look forward to. And he already had it, but he didn't know he did. Does that make sense?
Or he knew he had it, he just didn't know the extent of it.
Well, yeah, well, maybe he knew he had it, but he kept an onward journey toward that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like running a race. He's going to reach out for something that he's already got. Do you understand that? Let me read you the notes. That I might know him. The back and forth communications for acquaintance in a personal way. That's what he wanted. He had the mind of Christ, but he wanted to reach the Father things that he knew was out there that he didn't know he had a grip on yet. The back and forth communications for acquaintance in a personal way. And the power, the dunamis. If you go to the Companion Bible and look at 172, look at the first word for power there. It is dunamis. It is inherent power. It is the power of reproducing itself. It is the power of resurrection and of Christ's resurrection. The retaining of life from being dead. This was what Paul was looking for. But he had been dead once and he's back to life again, so he's already got that. But he's looking for something even beyond that. Okay? So we have to look at Paul's life and look at what he has obtained to, and then look at what he's still after, that he's not really certain that he's got yet. The retaining of life from being dead and the fellowship of his suffering, and we'll see this in the additional verses, being made conformable, and this conformable, and I'm going to probably butcher it up, but it's some morpho omei. And that means to be jointly formed. He wanted to be jointly formed unto the death like the death of Christ. That's what he was reaching out for. Now, we didn't say yet that he reached out, but we will, because this is what we're going to see in the additional verses. Okay, there's several places here that we need to look at. But let's look at what Jack put in verse 10. Brought down from the Koine Greek. Thee to know him. Thee to know him. And the power of the resurrection. You see all these thees there? The resurrection of him and the fellowship of the suffering of him, being conformed unto the death of him. So, all of these things is to know him, and they're of him, And we have the advantage of being part of this. Let's read it in the English as we would read it today. To know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. Well, Jack says it isn't enough to recognize Christ and to know the salient facts of his life and his work. To know him means to be acquainted with him personally and to communicate with him and he with you. The life connected with the power of his resurrection may not be the abstemious life known to many and affecting many. It may be the quiet life held up by his might. No one wishes to endure sufferings, but often such things becomes necessary, especially in the line of testimony for Christ's glory. The death is death to the world and its glamour and its glitter, or even its promises and the reward that goes with it. So you see, what Paul is sitting there looking at, he says, I've given up all this worldly stuff. I'm getting all this stuff from Christ. Is one going to be greater than the other? Sure it is. That was why he was there. That was why he was chosen. Okay, you ready to tighten up your belt a little bit? Let's look at some of these things. We want to go back. Let's just go back to Matthew. Because Matthew was where a lot of this started. Matthew 20, 22 and 23, it's on page 1354 says this, 22 and 23 of Matthew 20. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, yeah, we're able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. That was a mouthful. But here, you know, in Matthew, he was soon going to go and be slain. So this is part of his supper fact, I guess. And the fact is, he was asking them if they could stand what he was going to have to stand. Let's go back to Romans again. Let's go back to Romans 4. Yeah. Romans 4, 24 and 25. Says this. This is page 1670 if you have a companion Bible. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, that if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That is what is in Romans 4, but the first verse of Romans 5, and I think we're either going to go there or we have been there already. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Full stop. Okay. Romans 6, let's just turn the page. Romans 6, 5 says this, or 4 and 5. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That was what Paul was going to reach out to see if he could attain this. Okay? But we're not done with the story yet. Let's turn to Romans 8. See, Paul began to knew a good bit of stuff here. We're going to look at Romans 8, 11. It says this, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, if it dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we're not debtors. We're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So there's a lot here in 10. And Romans 8 talks about. But while we're close, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 for just a minute. First Corinthians 15 says in 17, so I guess I have to turn over another page. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15, 17, page 1722. And Paul says this to the Corinthians to correct them. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. So, that was 1 Corinthians 15, 17. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians for a minute. 2 Corinthians 1, 5. 17, 28. The question was asked, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 1:5. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4 while we're in the vicinity. And we're going to look at 4:10. 2 Corinthians 4:10. It says this, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which lived are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians. Okay. Two or three more and we'll be done with this. Colossians. We're going to pass Philippians and we're going to get into Colossians now. Colossians 3:4. Okay. I'm going to read 1-4 in chapter 3. If then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So you see, we're getting a picture here that Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Why? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. That's our hope.
Amen.
Folks, it kind of boils down to that situation. Colossians 3:4, page 1784. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter. Let's go way back and look at 1 Peter. If I can find 1 Peter. I thought I had, yeah, I got 1 Peter 4:13. No, that's 2 Peter. I'll get to the right page in just 1 second. Okay. And Peter said, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. And so that, what went with verse 10? How much time we got left?
It's 9:19.
Okay. Let's do 11 because we need to kind of keep the theme going a little bit. And it starts out with an if. if in the Greek is ei. And it's in if is in here, it's in the subjective mood. It is a hypothetical but possible condition, contingent upon circumstances. Here, it puts the conditions with more certainty and as being more dependent upon the event. And the event we're talking about here is 1 Corinthians 14:5 on page 17:18, 17:19. If by any means, or at least, I might attain, and that's katateo, to arrive at, and that's what katateo means, that you have arrived at something, and Paul has arrived at face to face with the resurrection, or an out resurrection of the dead.
Amen.
So let's read that again. Now that was my notes that I just read here in 11 because I wasn't back over to Philippians. But it says, if by any means I might attain unto the ek, the out resurrection of the dead. So Paul was wondering if this possibility that he was looking at, was wondering if he had already attained it or he was about to obtain it. So here he is with outstretched arms and he's kind of reaching for a goal here. And the goal here was to obtain an out resurrection from among the dead, of the dead. And I want to read the note here in the Companion Bible. All the texts read, the one from ek, the dead, making the expression emphatic. Appendix 139:3 will tell you that. The term resurrection of the dead, that is the word anastasis nekron. And that's, is of frequent occurrence. It's in Matthew 22, Acts 17, Acts 23, 1 Corinthians 15, Hebrews 6, and includes the resurrection to life of the just. Listen to this now. Includes the resurrection of life to the just and the resurrection of judgment to the unjust. Look at John 5:29 and Acts 24:15, Daniel 12:2. Resurrection from the dead, the ek nekron, implies the resurrection of some of the former of these two classes and the others being left behind. See Luke 20:35 and Acts 4:2. Paul had no doubt of obtaining to this, as may be seen from 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17, written some 10 years before. The ex anastasis must therefore mean a further selection of some before the annotation of 1 Thessalonians 4:14. And Paul was not yet sure of obtaining to this. Perhaps he had the assurance when he wrote 2 Timothy 4:7. Yep. It is noteworthy that there is no reference to any living ones being caught up or any parousia of the Lord here, as in 1 Thessalonians 4:15-16. So you can see that Thessalonians was written during the Acts period, and Paul didn't know. He knew about resurrection, but I don't think he got the full benefit of what he is looking at here until he got the mystery truth.
Well,
and to read and to understand.
Somewhere between here and 2 Timothy 4, all doubt was removed.
Everything was taken away.
He wrote, henceforth, I've attained this crown of righteousness.
Right.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And that's not the day of the Lord either. That's Christ's day.
Okay, we just read Colossians 3:4. Let's turn to Titus 2:2 for just a minute. We haven't been in the little short book of Titus. It's 18:18. I've gone back. Titus 2:12 and 13. Got one more page to turn over. Okay. That's on page 18:18. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Titus says a lot.
Yep.
Okay. Let's just read what Jack wrote in 11, and then we'll pick up with 12 on our next study. Down from the Koine Greek, if somehow I may arrive unto the out resurrection of the dead. Or the out resurrection from the dead. Paul wants to obtain unto this resurrection. Hear his people resurrected or stand up out from the dead bodies. This is at the time of the Epiphania, the manifestation spoken of in Colossians 3:4 and Titus 2:12 and 13 and so forth. This is the resurrection peculiar to the church who is his body or of the body of Christ.
Amen. Well said.
And so we'll leave it at that for this study. Good place to stop, because in 12 we can go on, because he's not done yet, but we've got to a good place that we can stop and realize and understand that. He was reaching out for this resurrection, or he wanted to come to, or to arrive at. Now, if you look at the word arrive at, it's mentioned four times in Scripture, in Paul's writings. And I think the first time was in Acts 16:1, where when Paul got to wherever Timothy was, he went there to get this young man or to meet him. And so he arrived at where Timotheus was back in Acts, if he goes back into Acts and look back into there, you can see where this, that little word that to arrive at, the katanateo, was where he arrived at with Timotheus. But his true hope and expectations was to arrive at this out resurrection from the dead, that he would be able to stand.
We had a couple of questions
in that day.
Michael and Craig almost simultaneously posted, how do we obtain the exanastasis? And I think I have an answer. We obtain the exanastasis. Paul says, when he gets over to 2 Timothy, you know, I mentioned that from Philippians, where he wanted to attain to it, to the point where he got to 2 Timothy, there was no doubt what he says, that that crown would be given not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. You are not going to be able to participate in an ekanastasis if you don't know that it's different from the parousia. I think the key to obtaining it is to understand, number one, that it exists, and number two, to place your love on it and let that be your, where your affections are. We don't place our affections here.
No.
We look for that home that is ours as part of the body of Christ. So I hope that, hopefully maybe that gives you a little bit of an insight into that. I think you can't attain to what you don't love. You have to love this. You got to love this hope and take this hope into yourself and let it become what and who you are. I don't think you can dabble with it. I don't think you can partially understand it and participate in it. I think that's maybe why Paul didn't really realize that he had attained to it yet in Philippians, because he just didn't know enough about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a lack of faith. I think it was a lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
I think God had not revealed all that God was going to reveal to him yet. But by the time he wrote 2 Timothy, let me tell you, you read 2 Timothy 4, there ain't too many doubts in that writing.
He knew.
He knew what was going on, and he knew he was there.
Well, you see, he was at a place, if you put him in the place that he was, that he had given up all the earthly things.
That's all he had left.
He said all that's done.
He traded all that in that wasn't worth nothing for something that was worth it.
Well, what is he going to get? He wants a resurrection like Christ had.
And he didn't make all that up.
No.
The potential for this resurrection had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. But even as it was being revealed, he was still struggling
with the understanding.
With the knowledge of whether he had made it yet or not.
Well.
But boy, by the time he gets to 2 Timothy, the doubts about whether he had made it or not are all gone.
Well, when you give up something...
Hopefully that helped you guys.
When you give up something for something that's better, then you've got to assure your mind and your heart.
Yep. The key is loving the appearing, not loving the coming.
Right.
Or loving, I think I'm going to heaven when I die.
Yeah.
That's not faith. That's stuff that's dreamed up.
That's pie in the sky.
That's either stuff that's pie in the sky or stuff that's in a previous dispensation that's no longer available. Loving either one is a proof to God of lack of faith, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what the Holy Spirit was placed in us for.
And have the Spirit and you discern.
As being part of the body of Christ, you have the Spirit that directs you to that.
The Spirit of discernment. The Spirit of... they call it enlightenment. If you are enlightened to the point by the Holy Spirit that you understand, man, there's another hope out there, and I can grab onto that, and that is what God has chosen me for. Once you realize that and love that, then you have attained to that crown.
You count everything else, but
God. Everything else is useless. You can put it all, like Paul did, in the dung heap and then be done with
be
it.
Be gone.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you for the help.